Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome back to Dark Florida. I'm your host, Brooke Moreland. And tonight, we're venturing beyond the veil of what we think we know and into the world of alien encounters, interdimensional contact, and the mystery that connects it all. My guest has experienced these phenomena her entire life, from childhood visitations and CE5 encounters to sightings of unexplained beings, even Bigfoot. Her story bridges the gap between the spiritual and the extraterrestrial and changes how we define reality itself. Before we begin, don't forget to follow along on Instagram at Dark Florida Podcast for updates and everything happening behind the scenes. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@darkflorida411 for upcoming investigations and interviews. And if you have had a strange encounter of your own or would like to be a guest on the show, please email me at darkfloridapodcast@gmail.com. And you can support the show at buymeacoffee.com/darkflorida. And don't forget, wherever you're listening, to drop a 5-star review and share the show with a friend. It really helps. So settle in, turn down the lights, and open your mind. Now, let's dive into tonight's episode. Welcome back to another episode of Dark Florida. Tonight, I'm really excited to be sitting down and talking with Kathleen Tedder. She's going to share with us some of her experiences with the CE5 encounters and with some alien stuff. We might even get into Bigfoot. But first, let me just say welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brooke. I'm very excited to do this.
Yes, yes, me too. I'm really excited to get into this. This is a topic that I'm very interested in and looking forward to learning more about. Would you mind just telling me and the listeners a little bit about you and your background and who you were before you had your first alien or CE5 experience?
Well, sweetie, I was 4 years old when I had my first, so there wasn't much of a life at that point. But my 3D life during the time I was raising my family, I was an EMT3 in Oregon. I worked emergency rooms, three different emergency rooms, and I was a volunteer firefighter for 3.5 years in Eugene and Vinita, Oregon. So that was my history. Worked for 3 doctor's offices here in Florida, and they don't want to pay insurance. So I had a hard time sticking with that. And then I got injured and I had to go on disability. But I have had experiences with ET since I was 4 years old.
Now, for the listeners who might not be familiar, can you explain what is CE5 in your own words?
My CE5 is, it would be contact with extraterrestrials per your will and per your wishes. If you wish to experience them and you go into the right heart space, you will guarantee, per Kathleen Tedder, you will have an experience with them. They want to communicate with us. They want that, but there's certain beings that have a little bit too much emotional baggage that they cannot communicate with because it just doesn't go anywhere. So they will not do that. But if your heart is right and you're ready to experience them, all you have to do is either by yourself or with a group, just ask, concentrate on them, think of sending love to them, and I guarantee you'll have an experience.
When you had your first experience, can you walk us through what that was like?
Yes, sweetie. I was 4 years old and I lived in Alaska, and I had 2 very special experiences at that age that I remember. Now, I remember even before that age, but these are the only 2 memories that have made sense in my entire life to me and for me. I was a little girl. I was alone. I was sleeping. It was night and it was Alaska. There was a thunderstorm going on, or some kind of a loud storm outside. And my parents both were musicians and they were gone at night. So I wasn't sure who would be babysitting me. And I sat up in fear because of the lightning and thundering and whatever was coming in through the curtains I could see. And I was terrified. But I didn't know who to go ask, you know, who was the babysitter this night. So I just sat there frozen, and all of a sudden in my doorway, a lady was standing there who had a glow about her, more so than a light. Light isn't the proper word. She literally glowed, and she was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. She had long red hair. She was just beautiful with big green eyes. And she kind of, I'm going to say floated for lack of seeing any feet, but she came over and she sat on the bed beside me. And she took my hand and she said, "What are you afraid of? Why are you so afraid?" This was not words with the mouth. This was telepathy, which I didn't know that until many years of experiencing telepathy. I understand now what went on then. And I told her, I said, "Well, this noise, this storm, I don't know who to call to. I'm scared." And she says, "You are never alone." And that was the word she used. And then she did a little thing with her hand, a movement, and my whole room lit up with the brightest light you can imagine. It literally hurt my eyes and I couldn't see for a bit. And then when I could focus, there were hundreds. I know this is a bedroom, so you have to kind of use your imagination, but there were hundreds of different beings, sentient beings in my room with me, surrounding me in every direction, almost as far as I could see. Now, whether she opened dimensions, all the dimensions at once for me to see, or whether she took me to a different dimension, I cannot honestly say that. However, these beings, there were little people that were about, they were adults, but they were 2 feet tall. There were fairies, there were Sasquatch, there were grays, there, you name it, there were these beings, all these beings. And I'm looking at them in awe, not a bit afraid, but I realized they were smiling. They were sending me love. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that I was seeing all this love coming from everything, from praying mantis. Every being that you've ever heard of seemed to be in that room with me at that moment. And then she did a little thing and they went away, and she said, "See, you are never alone." I was just in awe. I had touched her beautiful long red hair. It was soft and beautiful. I thought I had a fairy godmother or something to that effect at that age. I didn't understand. And then she kind of smiled, and then she got up and kind of floated away, and I was content, and I went back to sleep. But when I woke up the next day, I couldn't believe, because I knew I was wide awake. So that was my first being from another realm, whether it's interdimensional or UFO. I don't know. Maybe all the lights and the noise outside were UFOs. To me, it was a storm.
How did that progress, like, as your life went on? So you had this first encounter, and I'm sure at that age you had no idea how to process it. When did you start realize what you were dealing with?
After all my years of having psychic things happening in my world and supernatural things such as orbs and ghosts that telepathically spoke with me, and many, many missing times and many ET visits on craft, well, three that I can consciously recall. After I put it all together, I realized that she showed me those beings when I was 4 years old so that I would not be afraid, because this was going to be my life, and they were in my life, and they have been in my life on and off. All of them, I think, just about, that she showed me have been in my life at some point. So I look at that as the most important part of my ET experience. Yeah. And then at age 9, my mother had big bolt locks put on our front and back door, because she had a break in when she was alone, and it startled her and scared her so bad that she had these crazy locks put on, one up into the ceiling, one sideways, and one down into the cement floor. Nobody was getting in or out of those locks. And we had just bought that house within that year. So I was 9 years old. That's how I recall the age. And I woke up in the morning hearing my mom unbolting the door, calling for me. And I sit up and I look around, and I'm underneath the oak tree outside of my window, outside of where my room was, with my blanket that my grandmother made for me, a special quilt, and a pillow. And it was laid out like my bed was made. It was really unique. And I sat up as she's unlocking the bolts and calling, "What the heck are you doing outside?" You know, giving me heck because we got to go to school or work or whatever's going on. I realized I feel good. Now, I'm 9 years old. What do I know about feeling good? But I had this overall well-being. I just never felt better in my life. I felt good. I think I might have had some sort of an upgrade in the night, or some sort of work done on me on craft, which I didn't find out more about until later on, when I had two or three years back, I had QHHT with Dr. Melanie Barton Bragg, and she opened up some doors that made it loud and clear for me to see what went on my three. Well, there's still one I have to work on. I have missing time. I don't know what happened, but three of the times that I do know. She helped open those doors so that the memories just started flooding in. And I realized they had taken me. Of course they took me. How could I get out of my room? There's no way I'd be outside.
What is QHHT?
It's hypnotherapy. Yes, we had quite a long session, and she's a friend of mine, so she did extra well with me, I feel. And she just worked miracles for me. And so what happened, I was taken, the part that came back to me later, much later, because I just had that done 3 years ago, on craft, that they took me, a gray and three, a normal gray, I say the average gray that you see here and there, about 5 foot tall. He was my friend. And when he came to take me, I was so happy. He was familiar. I felt familiar, like we were old friends, old, you know. And now I look back, and yes, I saw him when I was four. And maybe I had seen him other times that they took me that I don't know about. That, you know, there's always that possibility. But he came, and three little guys that I could tell did not have consciousness. They were more robotic, but they looked like little grays about, I don't know, maybe 2-3 feet tall. And so I don't remember exactly how I got out of my room and into the craft. I don't remember that part. But on the craft, it was circular. I was in a very lit room, but I couldn't see a certain point of light. It was just a very, very white light, is all I can say, that was very even, and I could see quite well. And what I found out instantly when he put me on the table, so to speak, you know, to do whatever they were to do, I could leave my body. I found I could astrally project around the craft, and I was curious. I'm 9 years old. I'm curious. I want to see what's going on. So I left my body and looked around the craft. First of all, to my right, it was my gray holding my hand. I've never named him. I just call him my gray. Maybe he's a guide or something for me, but he's been in my craft with me the times that I do remember. So he's holding my hand, and he's kind of there. At first, they're chuckling. There's about four or five somebodies in the room. I haven't yet gotten the vision part yet. So I know there's others in the room laughing that I could leave my body. And so he asked me to come back in my body, and so I did. And then I thought, I didn't see. And I left my body again, jumped out and started scooting around. It was in a circular room. My body was laying on the table and possibly paralyzed, but I don't know, because it was more like I was asleep than paralyzed, to be honest. I mean, I don't know, because I kept leaving my body. The second time I left my body, I could see beings observing, like in a theater for doctors where one's doing a surgery and they have glass above and people are looking down. I could see that was happening, that there was like these beings above in a glass looking down at what was at my body, but I wasn't in my body. So down, say, where my feet would be, where my left foot was, I could see the back of my Sasquatch friend that to me was like the love of my life from the time, I guess I should throw that in, that I also at age 4 had actually met a Sasquatch being and was going out to give him a hug. And my dad caught me and grabbed me and stopped me. He was only 10 feet out the door. I was sitting at a table playing as a little girl would. And our kitchen door opened halfway and the top half was open and I could see clear outside. And we had a cherry tree about 10 feet out the door, and a Sasquatch being was eating cherries out of the tree. And I saw him, and we locked eyes, and I was in love. It was like I had a new puppy or a teddy bear, my new friend, and I was running out that door to go give him a hug. So that was something else that happened at age 4. But again, I feel he was probably in the group with when the angelic lady showed me all the other beings. I'm on the craft, and there's my friend, my other friend. So I have a familiar friend holding my hand, my right hand, and at my feet, he's got his back to me at first, but I could see it was my Sasquatch, my friend that I had also met at age 4. And he turned and he smiled at me, and I was just comforted so much. And then they asked me, back in your body, please. And they weren't quite being as friendly. But I left again. I wanted to see more. So out I go one more time. And I look to my, what would be where my arm, if my arm was, say I was laid out, you know, with my arm stretched out on this bed. The Sasquatch was up by my left foot. And then to a little bit more to my left was a mantis being, a female mantis being, and she had a clipboard in her hand. And I didn't get telepathy from her, but again, she didn't scare me in any way. And I kind of was admiring her cloak, her clothing, wondering why she had a clipboard. And then I could see, here's the part that I really needed hypnosis to understand more of. Down on the floor on my left side, to where my shoulder would be, so to speak, on my left side, was a little boy, about 4 years old. I couldn't, at this point, I couldn't see his face clearly, but he was just sitting on the floor, just being still. And I just thought, oh, you're about 4 years old. And I loved kids. All my life, I've loved kids. I was the neighborhood babysitter forever. I'm curious about this little boy. But then I realized there's a little girl down at my left, towards sort of behind the Bigfoot or the Sasquatch, and down where my left foot would be. And I see her, and she's about 2. And she's got white blonde hair, and she's just sitting again, just like the little boy. They're not really doing anything, but they're just sitting there. And I could only see half of her face, but I burst out with, that's me. And when I did that, my gray got a little bit irritated and got me and said, get back in your body. We got to get this done. And pulled me back. But I kept saying, that was me. I'm too young to have kids. What am I seeing? Was that, you know, and I really honestly felt that little girl was me at that age, somehow. Or what, clone? I don't know. Those words, I didn't know those words until in my 60s. I don't know exactly. Had they already taken eggs from me? I don't know. I mean, I'm 9 years old. So I get in my body for the third time, and I knew he was stern that time, so I was going to cooperate. And he's still holding my hand, but he picks up a rod, a small, about 8 to 10 inch metal looking type thing, and he just starts at my forehead and starts putting it over my body slowly. And he went over my throat area with it a couple times, doesn't touch my body, just over me, and went down and then went over my ovaries or my female area a couple times. And then by the time he got to my feet, I don't remember. So that was my extent of that, is knowing that my familiar people were there. And whether that was, they say they can do things with your mind, maybe they did that so that I would not be afraid. I wasn't afraid. I was fascinated. But I didn't know that at age 9. I just knew that I woke up outside and it's impossible for me to have gotten there.
Now, when you said he was scanning that over your body, have you found any sort of marks or indentations or certain things that would have suggested that maybe you have a chip or that they did any kind of surgical procedures or things like that on you? Have you ever had that feeling?
I don't know, to be honest with you, but remember when I woke up, I had that good feeling. I felt so good. So something was done, but I don't really remember or have any idea. And I wouldn't have thought to even look for anything on my body at that age, or even later in life, I never thought to look. So that happened, and I had a lot of psychicness, even at age 9, and I want to explain that. I was empathic to the point where I knew, I sensed people enough dangers and things like that. So I had that just automatically, I guess. That's, maybe we all have that, but I had that a bit heightened. But my sister and I would get into arguments. She was 2 years older and kind of bossing me around, you know, go do the dishes, go do this, go do that. And my mom worked, and it was just the three of us. And I would get real angry with her, and she could punch and would punch me if I didn't obey her. But I could cuss her out and run like lightning. And a lot of times that's what happened. You know, that's the way it would go. I would run around the block, and then I would sneak up on the roof. And when I was on the roof, I was very angry at my sister because she's not my mom, and who is she to boss me around, and you know how you do when you're that age. And I would see little puffy marshmallow clouds up in the sky, and I would pick out one. If there was three together, I'd pick the middle one, you know, so I could be sure which one I was looking at. And I would automatically open my third eye, and I would shoot energy into that cloud. And it literally would dissipate, and the other clouds around it still be there. And I would take out my anger, sort of, in that energy that I'm sending to this cloud. I wasn't taking out meanness to the cloud, but somehow I was pulling that madness, that dark energy out of myself and letting it dissolve up into the clouds. So I found I could do that at 9 years old. And I did that for maybe a year. I started timing myself. How quick can I do it? I never showed anybody, and I never told anybody that I could do that, at least not until I was 50 or 60 years old. But that kind of was just a thing for me. When my sister would get me so angry, I would just go meet a cloud, you know, and sure enough, it would dissipate. And I found that I could do it within 5 minutes of, you know, concentrated, whatever that is, concentrated energy. So I had that gift. And then when I'm going to say my young teens, 13 or 14, I started being able, just automatically being able to hold somebody's jewelry and get a past, present, and a future reading on them. I would see something. I would see somebody in their family. I would see a trip in their future. I would see a pregnancy, things like that. So I had that gift. Anyway, by 16, now at 16, this is my most bizarre and to me, amazing experience, because it was broad daylight. I'm wide awake and I have a witness. I have my best friend with me. I was in Lutz, Florida, in the middle of an orange grove. My best friend and I lived in a little tiny house we rented there. We both worked at 16. She had a baby young in age, and I would babysit once in a while when she had to work, and we shared this little house together. We're way out in the middle of an orange grove. There's no other houses except the man that owns it, and he's about a good two city blocks away at the far end of the property. So there's nothing but orange groves around us, and a tiny pond is outside of the little house. And there's a tiny window in the bathroom, and I was on the potty, and I look out this window, and I see this huge, dark, shadowy, I couldn't quite see clearly because the window's so small. So I literally am running outside, pulling up my pants, hollering, "Vicky, Vicky, come outside, there's a UFO," right? And that's what I'm screaming, "There's a UFO, come outside." So she comes out, and we're standing by the pond, and again, it's broad daylight. For some reason, it's at near sunset, but not, it's still very, very light. So I'm going to guess, say, 7 o'clock, you know, but not in the, where it gets dark early. You know? And so we run outside, we start jumping up and down, waving our arms, going, "Hey, hey, stop, stop," like idiots. I mean, most people would think that. Well, the thing came up to us. This huge, still couldn't see quite what we were looking at because it was so big. We just couldn't quite see what the heck we were seeing. And it literally came up right in front of us. And again, this is just over the tops of the trees. So you know about how tall orange trees are because you're a Florida girl. It was very low. And it came right up to us about 100 feet over us and stopped. And then we're like, uh-oh. Uh-oh. Because now we both have our mouths open. We're looking up and we don't know what the heck. And it's cigar shaped. And I can't even begin to tell you how large and round it this thing was. I have no clue how big this thing was. And in the front is a glass. It looks like a glass viewing window, the whole front of it. And inside, and you can see clear in. I mean, it's very clear. And I look in and I'm not sure what Vicky sees or remembers, or she's going to send me, she's still with my best buddy today, so she's going to send me a write-up on what she remembers soon. She said recently that she would do that. So I look up and I see beings, hundreds of beings, again, different beings, and it doesn't give me fear because, again, I have seen, they're familiar in some way to me, even at that second that I'm looking up at, into this craft, and I'm thinking for some reason, like I'm seeing a tour bus, a huge, gigantic tour bus full of everything in the universe, whatever that would be. I mean, that was kind of a thought to me is, oh my gosh, it's a tour bus. They're looking over the earth, or because there was just so many people and most of them were looking out this viewing window. Then I look at the man in the center of all the group, and he's very pale. He's tall. He's white haired and he's not very old, but I got wise. Now, my first thought when I looked at this gentleman, my first thought was Jesus. I just met Jesus. Now, why I thought that, I don't know. His persona was so beautiful that was my first thought. My second thought that I've never forgotten was the word purity. I've never forgotten that. That was my thought. I just saw Jesus, and purity was just overwhelming me. And then I don't remember anything else, and she doesn't.
You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
Remember anything else until we wake up the next morning. And when we woke up the next morning, we had severe headaches. Severe. I do remember consciously before hypnosis some things. What I do remember is being on craft. I don't know how I got there, but being on the craft. Again, on a gurney or a bed type situation. This time I can't really leave my body, but I can see and a certain amount. I can move my head a little bit. But I don't even think, for some reason, I don't have the feeling that I need to get up and move. So I'm just comfortable just being there. And I look down towards where my feet would be. there were two doors open, sort of in a round room, but it's so big, it was just this humongous room. And again, I felt like there was another layer above me of glass with people looking down. I got that both times. I'm, you know, like doctors are in school and they're looking down on surgeries. I got that in this craft as well as I did the first time, but this is so different. So what I see near one of the doors down towards my feet are three men in uniforms, and they are military uniforms, and I recognize them. I grew up near MacDill Air Force Base, and I went to all the air shows, and I had family in military, and I've had a lot of military experience, and I recognize those as our military. I'm not sure what, but they were, I can't say Navy, Army, but they were ours. And there were three men, and they were watching, but they were standing right at the door. But on the opposite side of that door were three other, I say beings, because I didn't feel like, at first instantly, I didn't feel like they were human. But they looked human in every way, except they were shorter. They were more like 5 foot, maybe 5'5". And they were in uniform as well, but a different uniform that I did not recognize as anything in our military. And right away, I could hear them talking telepathically to each other. And they knew I was hearing them. And it was one female and two males. So sometimes I think possibly that was a my lab ship craft, something. But because of our military being on this craft, that comes to my mind now that I'm older and wiser. To my left, again, and almost in the same position as on the small craft, was the Sasquatch being. The same Sasquatch being that what I call mine. I think he's like, now at this point, I feel like he's one of my guides. And that's the only place I can put that. I really do. So there he is again, working with sort of, it looked like a bunch of computers and knobs and stuff. He was doing something with some equipment there. And I couldn't hardly see for some reason more to my left. I kept trying to like circle the room, but I didn't get much beyond my Sasquatch being, and I knew there were a lot of people in there, but I couldn't see. That's all I consciously remembered. And then out I was. And then until, like I said, we woke up the next day with these horrible headaches. Vicky had to go to work, and I guess her mom had the baby because I was free that day. And I remember running down to the store, and I went through all the newspapers until I found a newspaper clipping. It was a hand-drawn picture of the craft. When it left us, now remember it was daylight, I'm assuming around 7 because it was, you know, dusk, early dusk. It floated slowly, glided or however, whatever it did, very slowly from Lutz over to where the University of South Florida, the planetarium, it floated right in front of the planetarium, and the three professors working that night got full visuals. And they drew pictures of it, and they described it as cigar-shaped and as large as three football fields. Now, that was when I was 16. That was 1967. And the funny thing is Vicky and I never spoke of that, ever. We never spoke of that. And that is so bizarre to me to this day that we had just... That's, again, why I think sometimes the MyLab may have contributed to that, because... When they wipe your mind, they wipe your mind. With this same friend of mine, I'm going to throw this one in because this is my first CE5. When I'm 14, my dear friend Vicky and I are at Anna Maria Island laying out on the beach about 9 o'clock at night. We're in the water. It's beautiful in the summertime, and my family had rented a place. And we were looking up in the sky, and I saw this red round orb. It wasn't pulsating, it wasn't flashing, it was just solid, like infrared, if you know what I'm talking about, that just solid red color. I see this thing moving across the sky, and I pointed it out to Vicky. And so we start watching it, and I said to her, let's ask it to move, let's ask it to do things. Believe it or not, that just came intuitively to me. And so we started doing ESP together, so to speak, and we concentrated. Let's ask it to go left. We did. And it did. We asked it to go right. Well, it did. This thing, we played with this craft or being or whatever it was. We literally played with it for about 30 minutes with just our minds. And then we went running inside to tell the grown-ups because they were retired military. Two or three of them were in there. And we ran in to tell them, come out, you got to see this. You won't believe it. And none of them came out. Not one of them wanted to come out and see it. So when we went back out, it was gone anyway. So that was just for us, I guess. So that was my first CE5, and it was intuitive.
I actually had a UFO sighting myself on the beach. When you were sharing your story, it was really reminiscent to what happened in mine. I was 18 years old. I was out on the beach one night with some friends, and we saw these orbs, these lights over the water, and they were that beautiful amber orange like you were just describing. And you could tell that they had some intelligence to them. And this was before I really knew anything about CE5 or anything about even the supernatural, really, at the level that I do now. And right. They were making these intelligent shapes and they were moving around. And I knew that it was a UFO. I knew that that's what we were seeing. And it was the most incredible thing.
Did you feel it connected to you direct? See, I truly felt it was, it could see me from way out there somehow. I felt connected. Did you feel that as well?
So we were just kind of freaked out and we left the area. Because I didn't have the same frame of reference like I do now. If I were to see that now, if I were to have the opportunity to see it again, I would take it in a heartbeat to see what I saw.
I understand that completely. I truly do. It's rather amazing. And I still don't know where I got the idea to even ask it anything, you know, to do that. And of course, Vicki and I, we had a lot of, we were like sisters. We met in the third grade and lived near each other. And we've been like sisters. And we did a lot of things that were rather, and I have to put supernatural. We had experiences together. So I don't know. I think we somehow fed off each other, like a battery gets a positive and a negative. I think together we caused energy that did a lot of bizarre things, you know, back in those days. But so that happened at 14. And then, like I said, the cigar-shaped craft that was my most momentous moment of my life was at 16. And we didn't tell anybody. We didn't speak about it. I never told anybody until I was like 40 or 50 years old. But since then, during my life, I've had a really amazing, I have to tell you this little ghost story. My mother and I were members of the American Legion for about the Women's Auxiliary. We would have an occasional dance or get together or Halloween party or something at the center. It was in Odessa, Florida, at the American Legion Hall. And there were two gentlemen that were in wheelchairs. Now, remember, I had this medical background, and so they were in wheelchairs. And when it was music playing, I would go grab one of them and I would pull him out and I would dance with him on the dance floor in his wheelchair. And I did this with the older gentleman who was around 80. I didn't even know his name. He was just one of the gang, one of the members, and his wife was there. And the other one was a younger man who had lost his legs. He came home from the military and he was in a wheelchair and he was about 40. So the both of them, I would just take turns every once in a while. I'd just go out and surprise them, pull them away from whatever they were doing and take them out on the dance floor and dance with them and put them back. And they thought that was great. And the odd thing was, is both of them passed away within about 6 months of each other. And the gentleman that was 80 lived two doors down from my mother's house. I lived with my mother. My mother had cancer for 15 years, three different cancers, and I was her caregiver. So I was home this one day, and she was in the front. What my mom did not know is my son, who was in ITT Tech, and he was a techie kid, he put up cameras so I could watch her from my room and make sure she was okay so she wouldn't fall or whatever. And I could see and hear her. So I had this little camera beside my bed, and I'm laying down reading in my room and she's watching her soap operas and smoking her cigarettes. I hear the front door open and I see my mother's head turned to look at the door. So my mother heard the door open, but she turns her head and goes back to her TV. So I don't think anything of it, but I heard the door open. And we had a lot of dogs. We had seven dogs at one point, so I'm not sure why none of the dogs barked during this episode, but they didn't. I'm reading this book and I got a feeling of somebody's looking at me. And I look up from the book at the foot of the bed, and there is a gentleman standing at my feet, and he is as solid as you and I. I could have touched him. I could have hugged him. And he's in full military uniform, and he's standing at attention. And he's looking at me. Now, this gentleman that's standing there is about 30 years old, strong and healthy. But suddenly I realized this is the gentleman that died at 80. This is Carl, our neighbor. And he's looking at me, standing at attention, all respectful. I mean, I'm telling you, this was so solid. There was no ghostly nothing to it. And he's telepathically, he says, "Where's Gloria?" And I telepathically said to him, "You have to go out the door and you have to go down two houses. But Carl, don't scare Mom." Then I said, "Gloria is waiting for you." That was the last thing I said to him. I thank God for that, being able to say that to this gentleman. So he nods at me and off he goes. And he sort of floated. So then I look at the camera and I look at my mom's head turn as the door opens and closes again. And then she goes back to her soap operas. So I put my book down and I'm kind of pale by now. And I walk into the living room and I tell my mother what happened. And she says, "I heard the door both times." And she says, "You are very pale." I said, "Mom, he was 30. He was strong. He was at his most vital time of his life." And we talked about it. My mother knew I had some experiences. So she's one of the few people that I could say anything to. She absolutely heard the door. And then we both talked about, should we go tell Gloria? But it was so soon that we said, no, let's wait. And then the waiting, my mom passed and I moved on and we sold the house. Before that gentleman and that amazement with me, when I was 18, I had another experience with a ghost. I was visiting a friend a couple blocks away who had just gotten married to a Marine, and he was getting ready to be shipped out. And this was their goodbye to their family, so to speak. And I went down to her house. They just rented a big empty house for a month before he had to leave so she could say goodbye to her family. Inside this house was a Ouija board. That's the only thing that was in this house when they moved in. And her and I, for some silly reason, we pulled it out and we started playing with it. I had never touched one before in my life. And I, to be honest, have never touched one since. I highly do not recommend them for people, but we were playing around with it and we got some just letters and things that didn't make sense. So, and her new husband was out working on the vehicle while we were in there. And he was full Cherokee and was raised by his grandmother, and he spoke the language and she had passed. We were tired of playing with this Ouija board because we couldn't figure out what in the heck all these letters were saying. Nothing made sense. So we put it away, and he came in the house and he picked up our note where we had been writing down these letters, and he started crying, literally crying. It was some sort of a message from his grandmother in Cherokee. The year of 2000, New Year's Eve, I'm divorced. I'm in my 30s. I had been caring for my mother, and it was just time for me to get out, and there was live music down the road. And so I bought a bunch of fireworks for my son to have a party on our property while I was gone. And, you know, and I knew he would bring his friend. And so I told them, I'm going to go and I'll be back right after the ball drops. I'll be home a little after midnight. And I took off. And so I had a blast. There was a band playing and some young Marine was there, and he and I danced until midnight. And when the ball dropped, like I said, I watched it. And oh, and by the way, I never drink. My mother was an alcoholic and I just don't drink. But on two or three occasions, I'll have one. And when I say one, I literally mean it. I always have one. Now, on New Year's, I ask for a 151 rum. I had one drink, so I'm not lost in my moment of party or anything like that. So this nice gentleman at the ball drops, and I said, "I have to go. I have responsibilities. Thank you for dancing with me. Hopefully you still have time to go meet up with some other nice lady." And which I felt bad, but walks me to my car and I take off, and it's like 20, maybe 20 after 12 by the time I'm in my car. And I go pulling up to my house, which is 20 minutes away or less, and it's back roads. I pull up into the yard, and my son's best friend, who was like a son to me, and another young man that was one of my son's friends, were standing at the front gate. And I'm kind of wondering, what the heck are they doing? You know, what? You know, they're supposed to be out there partying and drinking and having a good time and doing what young people do. So when they opened the gate for me and I pulled in, and he goes, "Mom, we're so worried. Where have you been?" I go, what do you mean, where have I been? I did what I said I was going to do, and it's the ball dropped and I'm home. He goes, look, he stuck his watch in my face, and it was 3:15. And I left there at, I'm sure, by 12:30. It was 3:15, so I had missing time, about 3 hours of missing time. Again, one thing I need to throw back at, when the cigar-shaped craft went by the planetarium, the three professors that drew the pictures and told their story, they said it was around 10. So there's 3 hours missing time from the time I saw the cigar craft to that point of when it went in front of the planetarium. That's come up on three different times in my world. I had 3 hours of total missing time, and I have not had a chance to look into that to find out what happened or where I was. Or I haven't had the QHHT to do that yet. Again, I'm still somewhere around in my 30s, and I had a cousin who's a Marine. He was single and he raised three kids alone. He was at the roadway inn on Highway 301, and they had live music playing. And he called me and he said, I have a date there tonight. You want to come and hear some music? And it was during the week because I remember we were like the only three or four people in the whole place that night. I said, yeah, I'll come just to say hi and have one drink and then go home. So I go, we visit, I have the one drink again. And right around midnight, he wants to go with the girl, of course. And I enjoyed the music. It was a real good band. And so he walks me to my car and I get in my car and I'm driving home and I'm on 301 headed home. And then I realize I'm waking up. I absolutely realize I'm waking up. Now, I wasn't sleepy. I wasn't tired. Only had one drink. And I'm in the middle of 301 with my car running. And I'm going, holy. And I realize if another car had been coming, it's dark, it's foggy, and I'm in the middle of the road. And then I look at the clock. It's about 3:15 again. So again, I've lost 3 hours. Now, this one, what I do remember before they actually put me out was they took me and the car. I remember saying, oh God, this time they take in the car too. And I could feel the car raising like an elevator. Then that's it. That's all I could remember of that experience. Again, I have no memory. I have to work on that. So I have those two missing times of 3 hours along with the 3 hours of being on the cigar-shaped craft in 1967. And in 1982, I was over by MacDill Air Force Base, I would say a mile and a half, 2 miles from the base on Dale Mabry Highway. And I look up and right on top of my car is a triangular shaped black craft, okay? Silent, right over my car. I mean, I literally stopped on Dale Mabry, put my car at park, got out and stood there and a couple other cars did that also because it was just amazing. This thing did about 5 minutes of acrobatics in dead silence right over my car as if it was putting on a dance for me and these other people that were in front and in back of me. Put on a 5-minute display of the most amazing maneuvers you can imagine, and then it shot off at Mach speed and oh my God, what did I just see? First of all, I thought, this is way over our military grade. But then I thought, well, maybe that is our military because I am right beside MacDill Air Force Base. What I saw was, it was totally smooth. There was not a rivet. I couldn't see a light. I couldn't see anything but just pure smooth, sort of a flat black triangle. It was very quiet. I have called and had many CE5s for 20 years that pretty much was just me and them before I even knew there were groups or other people doing these kind of things. If I was outside at night or if I could find a place where I could see the stars, I would call them in and commune with them telepathically. And I have done that a lot in my life.
You were talking about like meditation and really focusing, but what kind of techniques do you use to sort of induce those experiences?
Since I came back to Florida, this October starts 5 years. Before, I was with a gentleman for 5 years, and every weekend we were in the mountains, on BLM roads, in the backwoods. I mean, you name it. We hiked every mountain on the West Coast. Each time that I was way out there, I had experiences with either Sasquatch beings and or ET, and most of the time, ET, and he would occasionally, we'd camp and we might have somebody with us, and he would say, okay, call them, go ahead, call them. And I would ask them to come. I didn't use lasers. I don't have radios. I just closed my eyes. I always pray. I always ask the good Lord above for these experiences to be sentient and safe, good experiences for all involved. And then I kind of just open up and they come every time. Every time they would come. So I was doing that for the last 5 years without even knowing it was called CE5 or what it was. I just knew I could call them in anytime and I could show people. But I would only do it for certain spiritual people. I wouldn't just do it for anybody because there's no sense in it. It had to be somebody a little bit interested with a good heart. During those times, I had the pine cones, the tree knocks, you know, the feeling of being watched, lots of little tricks that they would play on me, the Sasquatch beings. And then one time we were in the Redwood Forest. What I'm telling and talking about, it all actually does relate to ET in a very big way. It comes back to ET and my experiences. We were in the Redwoods and I knew I had telepathy with plants. I knew I had telepathy with certain animals and what had happened with the ghost. But suddenly a fairy came flying up and got in my face. And she was spinning and she was like an orb, but very colorful, beautiful, glowing, sort of a little round, about the size of a softball, I suppose. And she gave me this telepathic message that we want to communicate and we are going to be. And when she said we, she said she was speaking for the elementals. And she said, you are an elemental. You belong in this information. I'm giving you this message because you're supposed to start talking about it. You're supposed to tell people this. I had not told anybody anything hardly in my life, except maybe one-on-one during a conversation. So she says, we want to communicate. We would love it if people could be telepathic. Can you teach them to be telepathic? And I said, I have no idea how. I just have it. And I said, the only thing I could tell them, and I literally said this, is tell them to shut up and just listen. So I tell people, shut up and listen. You'll hear them, especially out in nature and, you know, being grounded as much as you can, things like that. So she told me that they were literally going to start communicating with us again. She told me the Sasquatch are elementals. They want to start communicating. They do not want to be studied. They do not want to be put in jars. They do not want to be captured and taken from their families. They don't want to be swatted because sometimes when they come at you, they appear like a bug. And from that time on, my telepathy has not stopped. My boyfriend at that time was a bit spiritual and he had some psychic abilities and he worked security. At one point, he was one of our president's bodyguards. He worked for some of the highest security intelligence in America. He was a Marine. He started working with me, teaching me remote viewing. When my mother was ill, I had a psychic site on Facebook group. It's called Merlin, spelled funny, but it's Merlin, starts with a G. And I would read people's spirit guides and who was around them, their ancestors, getting back to elementals and telepathy. I went to another forest soon after I met with the fairy. I'm standing out in the forest, 100,000 trees around me, but this one particular tree speaks to me and says, I have a surprise for you. Did I just hear this tree say it has a surprise for me? I walk over to the tree and I look down and there's two rocks at the base of the tree. And I pick up one rock and I look and it's just a rock. So I put it right back and I picked up the other one. Now we are so far out on BLM land that I really doubt there had ever been anybody camping. That's what we were looking for, virgin land. We were going out as far out as we could get and still find our way home. And we were doing that all through COVID. We'd hike. So I pick up the second rock and I turn it over and there's a painted rose on the bottom of this rock. I couldn't believe it. This tree tells me it has a surprise for me. And there it is. I took a picture of the rock and I took a picture of the tree and I, of course, hugged the tree. I'm getting all these telepathic blessings. So that kind of opened something up. But what I kept getting in the meantime with, again, anytime I called in a craft, it came. I called in a craft and we were out in the Sierras. And not only a craft came, but a Sasquatch being followed. That's the first time I put together in my own head that the craft and the Sasquatch beings are connected. But I had already known that the Sasquatch, what I thought, worked with the ETs because he was on craft. I didn't realize he was ET at that point, or I hadn't put any of those things together. So then I moved to Florida, and I got invited to go to Gary Borse has a place, a 17-acre ranch in Gainesville, and he does CE5s there. He has named it, I believe it's called Stargate Ranch now. He invited me to come up and do CE5s, and I didn't really know what CE5 was either. I just knew that I could call them in. And if these people wanted to get together and see craft, I was gonna partake and help them, you know, and be a part of that. Well, what a blessing that was, because I met my best friend, Lily. That was his wife. I met all kinds of really wonderful people. That's the first time I ever learned of using lasers and radios and doing the Stephen Greer meditations and doing it the right way, that the way everybody else does it. But again, we had lots of sightings that night. I started going every time he'd have one, once a month. I started attending his CE5. So I learned that CE5 was a thing. It wasn't just some blessing that I could do. So in 2016, and I'm in Oregon and on this farm, which was way out in the middle of nothing, I lived in an RV on this land. Now I'm in my 60s. I'm up in age. I really had not slowed down enough in my life to think about all of these different types of things that have happened to me, put it together. I just thought each and every thing, like, for instance, a ghost is one thing, being psychic is one thing, ET is one thing. I didn't realize they were all one thing united together and it all connected. I didn't have any idea of that at that point. So I'm asleep. Have you ever had that dream where you're falling and then you wake up just before you hit? I was having that dream, but I hit. And when I hit, I woke up and I hit hard. I went to roll over and I couldn't hardly catch my breath. I had a broken rib. How could I go through a fiberglass RV and hit a bed? I knew good and damn well that they had taken me at this point. At this point, it's making sense that they had taken me and somehow they brought me back with a broken rib or dropped me. I couldn't understand how they could drop me through the ceiling, but I have this broken rib and I'm angry about it. I go, I get x-rayed, and even the doctor put down mysterious broken rib while sleeping. And so that's in the medical records. I was mad at the ETs. I was very angry because they'd never hurt me before. I never had any fear. I never had anything negative whatsoever. To me, those were all blessings. They were just learning experiences and experiences that most people don't get. The whole time I'm healing for about a month, I'm angry with them. But then I think to myself, you know, I'm on my spiritual path. I'm later in life. I'm getting to be a senior. I need to stick with my spiritual path. I can't carry the weight of this anger. I started praying really hard, praying and praying. Why did this happen and how do I release this? And I don't want to be mad at them. So one day I'm out on the farm. I'm out by myself and all of a sudden, telepathically, I get loud and clear. It was like I was in an auditorium. It was as if 100 beings all at the same time said the same thing. They said, "We're sorry." And I knew it was the gray. And they said, "We were hit by an EMP pulse." I don't know what that is. And then they're gone. They're out of my head. I start YouTubing. What the heck is an EMP pulse? For that whole year, I didn't have any idea what that meant, but I never forgot EMP pulse. That was, to me, that at that time, I thought that was my last, but really I've had another one since.
When you have seen and have interacted with these beings, do you feel like that they are extraterrestrials to space or that they're interdimensional entities? Or in your opinion, who or what are these beings?
I feel interdimensional. I feel like most of the ETs that we're seeing live right here on the Earth with us. And I keep saying on the other side of the ice wall, I don't know. Or within the earth. But somehow I feel like that when they say that, you know, the ETs, the giants left thousands of years ago or whatever, I don't think so. I'm sorry, but I feel like they're still here. I just feel like it's all interdimensional and we are a part of that interdimensional space. But yes, we do have the veil between us, the layers of the onion, so to speak. But I think that some of us are seeing clearly through or having experiences of being able to see on the other side of these dimensions.
When you were in one of the crafts that you had seen, what you had suspected was our military. I wanted to ask, what do you think the connection is between our government and the CE5 activity? Do you think that the military is involved or that they know about it and have initiated this contact themselves?
I do. I believe they know everything, to be honest with you. I do. I know that for many years they've been training with remote viewing and stuff off planet. And I do believe that there are beings from off planet as well, other civilizations, not necessarily just interdimensional. But I believe that somehow through these wormholes that the other planets can appear with us through the dimensions. I don't understand that part yet, but that was my thinking at the time.
Now, since it's kind of been in the news lately, I'm sure that you have seen it, the Three-Eye Atlas. Do you have any thoughts or opinions on that craft that's coming towards, or the interstellar space object, I should say, that's coming into our galaxy?
I will tell you, I remote viewed it briefly, but then I got interrupted, so I didn't finish. What I found, the craft itself has a consciousness that is attached to each and all the beings within. What did I see within? I saw cities upon cities of different beings. This thing was huge. And it seemed like when I was in there, I was welcomed. So they knew my consciousness was there, but I felt welcomed. Now, when I say cities upon cities, it was like groups of beings all together, all sharing this consciousness, because this craft had its own consciousness. And I also felt that some of the beings that I was communicating with during this event had no bodies and never had bodies. So they were like more like light beings. I connected with them quite easily, and they told me how they can leave the craft. And anyone that is connected to the craft can leave the craft, but still remain in consciousness with the craft. The energy beings, the light beings, could fly off to a planet, but still be connected and still be partly on craft.
What do you think is the purpose for them coming into our solar system?
I think we're going to see a lot more. I think it's just the beginning of a lot more craft coming this way. They can call them comets. They can call them whatever they want. But that particular one is not a comet, not a solid rock comet in any way, shape, or form. It definitely has life. Now, because I was seeing city upon city, we're also in different dimensions on that same craft at that same time. It seemed like every inch of the space within had room for like almost like planets within. Like I can't even explain that anyway. It was like never ending. There was no beginning and no ending of the craft when I was on it. It went forever, it seemed. So maybe I was following the consciousness of the craft. I'm not sure. I just know it went, and these cities were huge and beautiful, and some were like crystal and some were in colors, some were not. So I was only there briefly. Like I said, I just wanted to go and see what the heck, but that's what I connected with. I was welcomed by the craft itself. I was welcomed by the beings. They knew I was there. And then I kind of pulled back and got interrupted and said, well, I'll come back and do this some more later.
What advice would you give to any of the listeners who are curious but cautious about trying CE5s themselves? And what message do you feel like these beings most want to share with us right now?
First of all, they would love us to, like I said before, shut up and go within and listen, because they are communicating with us. They want communication. They want a disclosure. They want to interact with us, but they won't, because of the dark side, or the whichever part of our government wants to shoot them down and cut them up and use them for biology and whatever else. So they're very cautious. So only certain ones do get connected to, ones that they feel safe around. As far as CE5 goes, if you're not in the right headspace, if you've had a bad day at work, or you just lost your job, or you had a fight with somebody, I don't recommend you going out and doing it at that time. I've actually fasted some certain times. I've prayed nonstop for 2 or 3 days before a CE5, just to bring in the purest of the souls and the most loving souls and And I send out that love during my prayers and during the night of the CE5s. I'm sending out that love and that welcoming to them so that they just, they won't approach those that are going to be in fear. And they don't want to put people in fear. They don't. They want to communicate. They want us to understand and they want to do what they can do, but they can only do if we allow and if we welcome it.
I just want to say just thank you so much for coming on. I truly appreciate your time and you being able to come and share your experiences with me and the listeners.
I appreciate you more than you know, sweetie. I really do. I really do. I, at my age, tomorrow could be the transition. If I don't put this out there, they've been telling me to talk about this since 2016 with the broken rib. They wanted me to start talking. The fairy in 2017 told me to start talking. So that's what I've been doing. But I had no platform and no place to really do it until recently. And now I'm having so many experiences, I want to get it all out while I can. That's what I'm doing. I'm really trying to explain as best I know how in our 3D language.
What an incredible conversation. Hearing firsthand accounts of contact from aliens and interdimensional beings to Bigfoot and beyond reminds us of how mysterious and layered this world is. Whether you believe these encounters came from the stars, other dimensions, or something far closer to home, one thing is for sure: the unknown is very much alive. If you've had your own strange experience with UFOs, cryptids, or anything that defies explanation, I'd love to hear from you. Feel free to email me at darkfloridapodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow along on Instagram at darkfloridapodcast and subscribe on YouTube at youtube.com/@darkflorida411. And if you would like to support the show, you can do so at buymeacoffee.com/darkflorida. Thank you so much for listening to Dark Florida. And as always, until next time, stay curious and stay strange.